If God loves all of us, then we should love one another. There's no one that is useless. Everyone has something you can learn from them.
Church is complicated, and for many of us, it can be difficult to see a path forward. Is it even possible for the church to be the hopeful, healing presence Jesus intended? At World Relief, we believe the answer is still yes. Every day, we see stories unfold of people moving together to create change in communities across the globe. Not because the church is perfect, but because God desires to use community to create change. In the midst of the mess, in the midst of human brokenness, God still moves through the local church. This is Forward Together, hope-filled stories from the global church.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matthew Sorens. I'm the U.S. Director of Church Mobilization and Advocacy at World Relief, and I'm joined today by Isakin Iwerioba. Isakin is the operations manager for one of our offices at World Relief Chicagoland. She's also the director of administration for her region of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, which is a global denomination with more than a million members all over the world, including many here in the United States. So hello, Isakin. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Matt. I'm very happy and honored to be here.
How did you get to where you are today? And what's been the role of the local church in your life story?
Growing up in Benin, Nigeria, my family, my father, did what a lot of Benin men do, and which is they practice a little bit of Christianity and a little bit of African traditional religion. So I grew up knowing both. And then one time in my early 20s, I had a series of misfortunes. Each year, someone was dying, and I was scared, and I had a choice. It was either go fully the way of African traditional religion or Christianity. And I chose Christianity. After that, I gave my life to Christ. I started serving in a church, which is the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the denomination I still worship at. And from then on, I went to be a missionary for 2 years in Zambia, and I came to the U.S.
Can you tell me a little bit, what brought you to the U.S.?
So you would not believe it. After being a missionary, my father was expecting me to come home and take up the normal life. He said I was too involved in church and I should come and be a normal person and go and work somewhere, you know. And I was going to come to the U.S. just to relax before going to get back into things. And the day I was going to the embassy to get my visa, I heard the Lord say clearly that I do a new thing. And I was like, okay, what is it? And I came to U.S. and he was like, this is where you're going to be. And the rest is history.
Wow. And I know you've been such a blessing to us for many years now at World Relief, working with lots of local churches here in the United States of lots of different backgrounds. I wonder if you could tell me, you know, having seen the church in lots of different cultural contexts, you know, within Africa and then in the United States, what would you say are some of the most interesting or significant differences between the church in the U.S. and other congregations that you've been a part of? And then what are the similarities?
I'll start with the differences. I see the American church as grace and the African church as law, right? So with the American church, especially the white American church, I've actually had more experiences with them. I see this love of God that I never truly knew about before coming to the U.S. There is this way, you know, when you hear songs like, you're a good, good father, you just hear that love for God that comes out. Now, the African church or the Nigerian church is different. We are more of a warrior church and we're big on rules and regulations. And you don't see so much of the love of God the way you would see in the American church. So those are some of the differences. Now, those things do have their problems because with the American church, I have seen so much of grace that sometimes you wonder if there is no adherence to law, like in the reading of the Bible. it's assumed in the Nigerian church that as you become a Christian and you rise up in the ranks of ministry or churches, that you will know the Bible a lot. Because we believe, like I said, we're a warring nation. So we believe that the word of God is our sword, our weapon. So how can you go to battle without having that? So it's always a surprise to me that in the American church, I have seen more of love and not enough rules. And in the African church, more of rules and not enough love. Similarities. We serve the same God. It's the same Jesus that we believe in. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Some people might not believe in speaking in tongues, but we see the love of God. We see the love of people through outreaches. Those are some of the similarities I've seen.
So again, what value do you see in having different expressions of the church globally? And what might we learn from each other? You already sort of suggested a few things there, but maybe expand on that a little bit.
I tell people that if you don't like people of other races, how are you going to cope in heaven? Because we're all going to be there. What are you going to do? And they don't need visas to get there. So are you going to ask God to ask them to please leave? No, they're all going to be in heaven together. So if God loves all of us, then we should love one another. There's no one that is useless. Everyone has something you can learn from them. The Bible gives examples like, look at the ant, so small, yet it's so organized. It prepares its food, you know, for the winter. So the Bible is saying to us that everything has use. Everything is precious in the eyes of God.
Can you think of a time in your life when maybe you've doubted God or doubted the work he was doing through the church? And if you're comfortable, can you tell us about a time like that?
Anyone who has been a Christian for a long time will have what we call wilderness experiences. Times when you call and God seems silent. And I've had that happen in my life at various stages. Like the final stage of my documentation in the U.S., just simple mistake, and it was awful. And I went through that experience. Don't be worried. I've documented now, and I've been for many years. But there was just a time it just seemed like God wasn't listening, like God wasn't paying attention, like God wasn't. I used up all my savings. But when it was over, God brought it back 1,000 times more, and he said, I wanted you to learn different lessons from there. So I learned that through it all, regardless of my feelings, God definitely is always there. He doesn't leave us, right? And have there been times when I felt like God failed through the church? No. I've seen when the church failed God. But one of my biggest disappointments was to see how, or not disappointment as much as pain, January 6th, I saw a side that was so not good, right? And I've been seeing that in the American church for a while, where we're becoming, I think I read it in your book, Matt, and about just bringing politics into church. And my heart broke because the church, the American church, believes that, or not believes, because I can't use that for all the American church, but you see this flavoring of the American church with politics. You see us laying down the Bible and bringing up our, what is the order of the day? What is the prevailing thing of the day? Bible says that in those days, men did what was right in their own eyes, right? Because the word of God was scarce. But the word of God is not scarce. But people were doing what is right in their own eyes. And you just see that politicizing. God is not a Republican. God is not a Democrat. God is God. And so how people can take the church and color it with politics, I was very pained about that. And people would just see people and assume they're Christians. No, by their fruits you shall know them. It's by your fruits you can tell if you're a Christian or not. And that's the painful thing about this, the church and what it's doing to this generation.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I think the American church so desperately needs that perspective. Not that the whole of the American church is necessarily in that spot, but there are certainly elements of it that I think have, it would be a blind spot that sisters and brothers in other parts of the world can help us to see. Another question, as we think about the church, I think there's a lot of people in the U.S. and maybe elsewhere in the world who are feeling a little discouraged with the church, maybe even ready to give up on the church. We probably all know some people in that boat. What would you say to them?
For a lot of people that are disappointed in the church, I want to appeal to them not to be disappointed in God. The church is just people, human beings working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. They're working out. They don't have anything to do with the God that we serve. So I would like to encourage them to please have a heart of grace, to extend grace to the church, to remove their eyes from the church. Be like Jesus, who set his focus on God, and learn to know God for yourself. You find out that when you begin to know God for yourself, not for the religion of going to church or going through the motions, he gives you an understanding of situations, of people. He helps you to extend grace because he loves everybody. For God so loved the whole world, you know. And so I'd like to encourage you to turn your eyes to God. How do you do this practically? Read the Bible. Just read the book of Mark or the book of John. I tell you, just read it. Just before you read it, just say to God, I want to read it and I want to meet you. It works. And talk to God like you and I are talking right now, Matt. Just talk to him, man. If you're real, I want to see you. If you're real, I want to know you. Show yourself to me.
I feel like every time we talk, it's again, the scripture just kind of comes out of you. It's clear that you're someone who has spent a lot of time in God's word. Then that is such a blessing to be guiding us. You know, at World Relief, we've been talking a lot about what it means to move forward together as one body. You know, we're like the church globally, we're a very diverse organization with lots of different Christian expressions rolled into one. So it feels really important for us to explore that question. But my question for you is, how can the church as a unified body move forward together?
I tell everybody all the time that World Relief taught me to love other Christians. And I've been a pastor for years. So let me unpack this a little bit. So I loved everyone in a, oh, Jesus love you kind of way. But what really opened my heart to the extent that if one of my young ones came and said, oh, I want to marry someone from another denomination, I'll say, sure. Before, I'd be like, let's sit down and talk about it. So what is World Relief doing that I wish the church will learn? At least I can't speak for the entire World Relief, but I can speak for Chicagoland. It's that coming together in the things that unite us. What makes us not uniform, but united, is accepting our commonalities. There are basic tenets of Christianity that we should focus on more than dogma, because it's dogma that separates us. What binds us together is much more than what separates us. The fact that Jesus came, he died for our sins, he rose from the dead. He went back to heaven. He makes intercessions for us. He sent the Holy Spirit to come and comfort us. Those are commonalities that cannot be shaken by dogma. So I believe that the church should put down the weapon of I'm better than you. I'm different from you. I'm serving a different God from you. Because that's what it sounds like, right? Put down that weapon and come together in unity.
Last question for you, Isokan. Do you believe the church can change the world? And if so, how?
Can the church change the world? Yes. Let's just practice what we preach. It's not easy. I'm not there yet. I'm nowhere near there. But I'm on my way. I agree with the Bible. I don't fight the Bible. People say to me all the time, there's so many churches in Nigeria and there is no change. There's so much corruption. And I say to them, imagine how bad it would have been if the church wasn't there. You know? So, you know, can the church? Oh, yes. Just because that's God's desire. We are his hands and feet. And God loves the world so much. He placed us here to do everything that Jesus was doing and more. So yes, let's stop fighting. Let's start practicing. Let's know the Bible is our guideline, and the church can definitely change the world.
Well, thank you so much, Isakin. As we end our time here, I wondered if you would mind saying a prayer over our time and over all who are listening today.
Of course, I'll be happy to. You are good and your mercy is forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy is forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for everyone that will have a chance to listen to this podcast. My heart just cries out because I know your heart cries out for the church. Your heart cries out for the world. Your heart cries out for this world that you have created. Lord, I pray that for everyone that hears this discussion that Matt and I have had, anyone that is in pain, that Father, you will show yourself strong to them. Everyone that is confused, that Father, you will give them direction. Everyone that is just, that doesn't even know what it is that they're looking for, that you will reveal yourself to them, oh God. Lord, I pray for the people out there that are discouraged. They have looked and they do not see good examples. Father, I pray that you will reveal yourself to them because you are perfect. You are perfect, oh God. Nothing can be taken from you or nothing added. I pray for the church in America and in around the world, oh God, that you continue to show yourself to them, that you make all of us pause and listen to you, oh God. Father, I pray for this world in general, that Lord, your knowledge will spread over the world, even as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Father, Lord God, because I declare that no one that listens to this talk, no one's life will be left the same. They will have a touch from heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Forward Together, Hope-Filled Stories from the Global Church, a podcast series by World Relief. To learn more about World Relief and get involved, visit www.worldrelief.org. Join us next episode to hear from a local pastor and World Relief staff member about how God is at work through the church in Democratic Republic of Congo.
I understood that God is a protector in the American people believe from God because they have peace. But for us here in Congo, we have the war, we have conflict. And when we see how God is protecting us, this gives us a faith to believe to him.